الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us out of two components, a body and a soul. And it's important for us to remember that the essence of who we are is the soul. And that the body is merely a vehicle that we have to travel in as we go through this world. This body is just with us for a very limited period of time. A lot of times people say, I want to get more spiritual. So how can I increase my spirituality? How can I become more spiritual? But that question, it's based on a presumption that we're human beings looking for a spiritual experience. It's a very subtle point. I'm just talking off the top of my head, so you have to forgive me if I'm not being super eloquent here, but just try to capture what I'm saying. If somebody asks you the question, how can I be more spiritual? Then the angle of that question is that we are human beings trying to have a spiritual experience, correct? But I would argue the opposite. We're actually spiritual beings stuck in a human experience. It's backwards, right? Somebody says, how can I be more spiritual? They're asking that I'm a human being. How can I be more spiritual? But the argument actually is the other way. The question should be phrased the other way. We are spiritual beings, but we got stuck in a human experience. Right? Meaning we're going to pass through this. Previously we were in another world, which was the world of the souls. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us as souls. We were spirits at that time. Now this spirit got stuck in this body. We were born. We have to live in this world. We have to pass through this world. And eventually what will happen is that we will pass away. Our souls will be extracted. The body will go back in the ground. So actually, we are spiritual beings stuck in a human experience. Now, why is that so important? Because what it does is when you understand that one simple premise, then how to increase spirituality becomes much more clear. Because if a person wants to increase spirituality, they don't have to do anything. They're already spiritual. Their whole nature was already spiritual to begin with. The problem isn't the spirituality. The problem is the human part of who we are, the bodily part of who we are. So essentially, what we learn from this, at least if you understand the paradigm in this way, then what you learn from this is that the mechanism by which a person can increase their spirituality actually lies simply in refraining the human body from certain things. Right? We have to, and this is exactly what the deen teaches us, particularly the sunnah, right? The deen, to some degree, gives us responsibilities as to how we can control the human experience. You know, we can get married, but we can't go beyond marriage. We can do business transactions, but we can't go beyond a certain limit. We can eat food, but we can't go beyond a certain limit. So the deen already highlights some of these, some of this for us, you know, as what's mandatory upon us. But even beyond that, a person who's truly looking for a spiritual experience, The person who's truly looking for a spiritual experience will never be able to achieve that experience until they restrict the body. Now, we're not trying to crush the body, because the body is a vehicle. We need the vehicle. We have to use this vehicle to get through our life in this world. But we're trying to restrict the body so that that spirit can come alive. So, for example, three very simple principles that we learn from our teachers, which essentially are just summations of the sunnah. That, number one, we should restrict the food that we consume. Number one, we should restrict the food that we consume. Now again, I say this with the caveat that we're not trying to kill the body. The body needs to be with us because we have to travel through this vehicle. You don't want to damage it. But we should restrict the intake of the body, because the intake of the body increases the bodily experience. It doesn't increase the spiritual experience. So as an example, you know, the mashayikh, people always highlight in the mashayikh mention that, you know, a person should eat one-third food, one-third air, one-third water. But we know that the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that that was the maximum that a person should consume. We cannot have a spiritual experience if people are eating three meals a day and everyone is from DoorDash and they bring whatever, you know, whatever the body desires, right? Each meal is just something new and unique, and every flavor of the world, and every single, you know, each time we're filling ourselves to the extent that we eat, sleep, we eat, sleep, we eat, sleep. That's not concordant with a spiritual experience. Now, a person who wants to have a spiritual experience can say, well, I'm going to increase my dhikr, I'm going to sit in the masjid, I'm going to go learn ilm. What is it going to do? Because the whole problem was with the body, the problem wasn't with the soul. The soul is already spiritual. Yes, these things increase the power of the soul. They teach a person how to reduce the effects of the body. I'm not saying that they don't have their place. Of course, they have a very high and lofty place, but it's not concordant with this complete chaos in the world that we see around us, where the body is just continuously emphasized. The more we emphasize the body, the less the spiritual experience is going to be. These two things are not concordant. Three big meals a day, or now four or five meals a day, or how many meals a day people have, where we eat whatever we want, we just continuously feed our whims. Every single thing that I want to eat, I'm continuously eating. There's no fasting in my routine, etc., etc. This is not concordant with the spiritual experience. This is just some made-up thing that, you know, Western Muslims have basically brought upon themselves, and then they claim and, you know, clamor for a spiritual experience. It's not concordant. These two things are not. It's like mixing oil and water. So in general, now, this is something that is a personal thing, right? We don't impose this on others. We're not going to force our children to fast or force our spouses to fast if they're not interested in fasting. But I'm just saying that if a person who's truly seeking a spiritual experience, who really wants to develop themselves spiritually, and one of the very important things to recognize is that they should limit the food that they consume. Principle number two, that they should limit the speech. Speech and interacting with others. Now, we all need to speak. We all need to interact with others. But it should be limited, and it should be done with wisdom. Not like, hey man, I need to go hang out with this group, and then I need to go hang out with that group, and now I'm bored for 5 minutes, so bring me a puppet so that dances in front of me to keep me busy. It's just this continuous interaction. This is highly detrimental for a spiritual experience because it just emphasizes the body. Now, that's exactly what the world has become today. It's like, if there's no dancing puppet in front of people, then everybody just starts saying, I'm bored, I'm bored. Every minute there needs to be something that they're watching, something that they're doing, someone that they're talking to, someone that they're texting, someone that they're reading about or sending pictures about themselves. It's complete spiritual chaos. It's like 5 minutes of silence and everybody says, I'm bored. It's continuous entertainment. This is also not concordant with the spiritual experience. The history of our entire spiritual experience, all the way from the time of the Prophet ﷺ, was minimal speech, speaking only when it's clearly beneficial. Forget about the harmful speech. We're not even there. فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Let a person say, this hadith, let a person say good or remain silent. Which basically means that a person should think 10 times. What I'm about to say, is this something good? What I'm about to say, is this something good? Is this something that needs to be said? Is there a benefit in what I'm going to say? and then and only then should they speak, and the speech should be short and sweet. Now, there's some exceptions to that. When a person's speaking with their spouse, there's a different set of rules. When a person's speaking with their family, there's a different set of rules. I'm talking about when we go out into the world and we have an experience. The third principle is limiting sleep. Not crushing sleep. Sleep is a human need. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created sleep as a mechanism for us to reset. It allows us to end one day and begin the next. And each day is a blessing for us. So sleep should be present in our routines, but a person should not be sleeping for hours and hours and hours and hours such that they don't even know where they are. This is the third principle. These three things, which the mashayikh have really emphasized. Number one, reducing food. Number two, reducing sleep. Number three, reducing interactions with others, particularly speech. These are the three bodily functions that tend to reduce the spiritual experience. If a person can do these three things, reduce these three things, then the natural experience of Islam will be felt by that individual. Okay, that was all background. I want to talk about something different today. That was just these are just basic principles I've been talking about for decades. Now, the next point is that the world is actually going in the opposite direction of these three principles. So we have to be particularly guarded. For example, I'll tell you that nowadays there's all this talk of the metaverse. So what is the metaverse? Metaverse basically means, I'll tell you what is coming 50 years from now. You will just put on a pair of goggles, right? You'll put on a pair of goggles, and you'll put on the pair of goggles, and the goggles will transport your avatar. It won't be you physically. It'll be just a little constructed, you know, avatar of you. It will transport your avatar to your workplace. You'll be doing this, and the avatar will do this. You'll shake. You'll put your hand out to shake, and then the avatar will put their hand out to shake. You'll meet people at your office. You'll have conversations. You'll be talking. They'll be talking. But you'll be in one place. They'll be another. But the avatars will be sitting, like these little animations of you and the person. Although they'll be lifelike. Today, they're just little cartoons. 50 years from now, they'll be lifelike. So this is what basically where the future is going. They're creating their own universe, right? Now, the problem with that, I mean, there can be some good in that. Maybe people will go to the masjid with goggles. I don't know what will happen in the future. But the problem with that is that that is essentially just re-emphasizing the bodily experience. Right? Let me say it this way. Okay, let's reset for a second. Let me start from the beginning first. Let me just tell you that. What is ihsan? Then I'll put the piece together in a second. What is ihsan? Ihsan is already defined by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in his interaction with the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. Angel Jibreel alayhi salam said, what is ihsan? The Prophet alayhi salam said, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى, that you worship Allah as if you see him. Now what does that mean? What does that really mean when you say that you worship Allah as if you see him? What that means is that this whole world is just veiled. This world is like a bunch of hijabs. It's a bunch of veils. The only way to be able to truly achieve excellence in deen is to take these virtual reality glasses. These eyes, these are just goggles. These eyes, these are already virtual reality glasses, right? These are not real. These eyes are going to be buried in the grave one day. These virtual reality glasses, somebody has to take them off. And only when you take them off and you begin to see, wait a minute, what my eyes were seeing were not real. This is not haq. This is just all this created world. I have to remove these goggles in order to be able to see beyond this created world to see that, subhanAllah, there is just Allah. Right? I have to remove the veil of my body. I have to remove the veil of my eyes. I have to remove the veil of all of the things that I think to be important around me, to be able to eventually appreciate one thing, which is that the only reality is Allah, but these eyes are not able to see that reality. So this is what that means, that you worship Allah as if you see him, meaning that these goggles be removed and the eye of the heart is able to then perceive beyond this reality of you and me and my house and my job and my car, and I'm able to remove the entire universe and see the reality of La ilaha illallah. That's what it means to worship Allah as if you see him. Now, obviously, these eyes cannot capture Allah, right? These eyes cannot capture Allah. This is a spiritual experience. This spirit can capture the reality of Allah. Now, to some degree, obviously, it cannot completely capture that reality, but this spirit can be awakened to that reality, not this body. This body is just very, very limited. In fact, the body is the thing that's blocking us from actually having a spiritual experience. So if the whole notion of ihsan is that you remove these goggles that are present on our face already, then if a person actually puts another pair of goggles on top of this and now calls that reality, then in essence what they've done is actually put another veil on top of themselves instead of removing the veil that was supposed to be removed. See how much harder it becomes? Because now this person puts this whole other set of reality in and they get completely lost. This whole online world, the problem with this online world is that this just drowns the person in another layer of falsehood, in another fake reality. There's a whole other fake reality now. Before, my reality was me, my family, the few people that I could interact with. You know, it's Allah's mercy upon us that he only gave us the ability to hear one thing at one time and see one thing at one time and do one thing at one time. Right? This is his mercy upon us because this world has nothing for us. We don't need to see 20 things at one time. We don't need to hear 20 things at one time. We don't need to be able to do 20 things at one time. It's a blessing that he limited us in this way so that we could actually achieve this level of ihsan. But now what happens is when people dive into this world of social media, when they dive into this world of this online world, they disappear in another veil. It's another veil. It creates a whole nother layer that you have to remove in order for a person to be able to truly experience Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of us can appreciate that. It's only when these things disappear that we have actually some shot, some, you know, vague hope of being able to experience what the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Now, if we take another layer of goggles, and we put that on top of these already goggles, and that whole layer is not spiritual, it's completely bodily, right? It's designed for us to be able to engage in another world on top of this world, then it's just one more fake layer of reality. You know, I remember I used to really get amused when I was little. You know, when I was little, I grew up watching some TV. And I remember the thing that would amuse me the most when I was little, I still remember this, being 7, 8 years old, you would be watching TV, but the people on TV would be watching TV. Like, right? You're sitting and watching something, and then the people that you're watching, they're actually also watching something. And I used to just think at that time, like, this is so odd. Like, it's like there's this false reality that's being watched, and then on top of that, the people in that false reality are also watching another false reality. So, like, it's layer upon layer upon layer of hijabs that are being created in which a person then can never appreciate what the truth of the matter actually is. So we don't need a metaverse. We're already in a metaverse. We have to wake up. The whole point of Islam, the whole point of Islam is that this dunya has no value, that there is no reality, that it is a passing place, that it's been created as a test, that although you can taste, that's not the true taste. The true taste is in Jannah. Although you can have a home, that's not a true home. There is a home in Jannah. Although you can love, that's not true love. True love is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will be experienced in another domain. All of this is just a metaverse. It's just a, it's just, there's just, we're in the metaverse already. Like, what do you want to create another layer on top of that to do what? We are already in a metaverse, and the whole point of this is for us to recognize that this perfectly created universe is actually all just a vision. It is just a passing. There's no reality to it. It is just a passing phase. And that's eventually how a person is able to gain their spiritual experience. When we say, أَنْتَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَىٰ, it means that you begin to worship recognizing, you see beyond what the eyes can see. You see beyond, you hear what the ears can hear. You appreciate and realize a reality beyond this false reality, that this metaverse that we've been placed in. So the people of spirit, like I'm fearing, like 50 years from now, what kind of fitnas are going to be? Because 50 years from now, we're going to be fighting about what? You know, please take off your goggles. Like, it's not even going to be a conversation about, hey, can you remove these goggles that were already embedded in you biologically? The whole argument, the claim, the people on the minbar will be saying, please take off your goggles. You know, on occasion, please take off your goggles. Please take off these buds that you have in your ear, you know, constantly. Please just come into this reality, subhanAllah. I mean, Sahaba, we're running from this reality, and we're going to be begging people to come into this reality to get out of some other fake reality that we ourselves have created. So if a person truly wants I just point all this out to just teach a simple lesson, which is that if a person wants to achieve a spiritual experience, then they don't need to find spirituality. We're already spirits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already created us as spirits, and the deen inherently already has the basic mechanisms by which that spirit can thrive. Literally, 5 prayers a day, fasting in Ramadan, Hajj, Zakah, these basic good things that we all already do, these are far more than enough for the spirit to be able to thrive. The challenge isn't the good. Yes, we should do as much good as possible, but that's not where the challenge lies. You have to always know where the battle lies. The battle lies in being careful about what we allow our bodies to engage in. Because the more we speak, the more we get trapped in our own speech. The more we see, the more we get trapped in our own sights. The more we hear, the more we get trapped in our own noise. But that's not where the experience comes from. The experience comes from fasting, not from eating. The experience comes from silence, not from speaking. The experience comes from being awake at night, not from sleeping. That's where the true experience lies. And these are simple principles that the deen has established for 1400 years, and the people of piety have been exemplifying this for centuries and will continue to exemplify this for centuries. But that's the challenge that all of us face. So when somebody asks the question, or maybe I should say it this way, when we ask the question of ourselves, how can we become more spiritual? How can I develop myself spiritually? How can I truly experience this deen? How can I see the world for what it really is? How can I understand how can I gain the yaqeen of the fact that there is Jannah and Jahannam and that there is only one Allah? Then that comes, number one, the first step is always tazkiyah. Tazkiyah means the removal of something. Tazkiyah means the purification from something, and it always comes through these removal of these things. To put ourselves in silence instead of speech. To put ourselves in fasting instead of feeding. To put ourselves in being awake at the times when others are asleep. Again, it doesn't mean that I don't want this to be misunderstood. It doesn't mean that we don't talk to our family, we don't talk to our spouse. It doesn't mean that we don't enjoy a meal with others. It doesn't mean that we don't sleep when the body needs rest. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that we just need to appreciate that the more we feed this body, the less we're going to experience our deen, and the less we're going to be able to experience the reality of Islam. So, anyway, I have another topic coming in my head. I'm not going to touch on that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to experience true ahsan, and may He make us amongst those who are able to worship Him as if we see Him. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ